Hello, and welcome to the Free Food and Medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast, where we talk about free food and medicine. God's medicine, not man's medicine. Now, we've gotten away from reading our disclaimer, and I guess maybe I should look it up and play it for you. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Well, we got 10 minutes waiting for David and Blog Talk Radio. We'll go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. Where we actually have a recorded version of our disclaimer. We need to redo it, but I don't have my voice to text or text to speech program anymore, so I can't retype it and have it text. I do have a recorded version of David Ray reading our disclaimer, and we might have to do that again, but here it goes.
Asterisk legal notice asterisk. This podcast is for educational / or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Our first-hand knowledge is your hearsay evidence and you should always go and do your own homework. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any terroristic tyrannical de facto government, medical establishment, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s or any for that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what is right, when it is right, because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your government, your sovereignty, your freedom, and your liberty, and those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicine. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research / or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is a result of a nutritional deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man / or other animals. We are not man-animals. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us.
No, you're human.
Yeah. No matter what race your human is.
Yeah, it might be a porpoise.
Yeah, red, yellow, black, or white, we're all the same race.
Yep.
Anyway, we hadn't played our disclaimer in quite some time. And since we're doing a new Free Food and Medicine podcast, I figured we should probably play that from time to time.
It's about time.
So anyway, we got 5 minutes till our Blog Talk Radio. Any first words?
I'm tired.
I'm Kano. Glad to meet you, tired.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Well, for starters, since it might rain tomorrow, my mom and I might be coming down tomorrow, since I may not be working tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Also, I just discovered, and I'll have to mention this on the Blog Talk Radio, I thought we had more storage space, but apparently we can only do 60 recordings.
Okay.
And tonight will be number 18.
Okay.
So
we're one-third full.
Correct. So once we reach 60 recordings, we have two options. Make a Free Food and Medicine 2 Blog Talk Radio. Have Free Food and Medicine 1, Free Food and Medicine 2, Free Food and Medicine 3, Free Food and Medicine 4. And then we can have like 60 blocks. So it could be like Free Food and Medicine 1 would be episode or season 1, episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, up to 60. Then Blog Talk Radio 2 or Free Food and Medicine 2 would be season 2, episode blah, 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 blah. Or we can just quit Blog Talk altogether and just do the 60 recordings and walk away. And then just do them at freefoodandmedicine.org because I'm halfway getting it ready to be set up anyway. So it'll give us time to get that set up and ready to go. Once we hit our 60 recordings, we'll just use Blog Talk as advertising. Huh?
How many weeks in a year?
52. So it'll be 1 year's worth of Blog Talk Radio, Free Food and Medicine advertisements, plus, you know, maybe another couple months. Because it's actually 30-minute. I think we have like 30 hours. And some of our recordings are not quite 30 minutes. So we may have like 55 recordings total.
Okay, so maybe what we do is we do 8 specials. And every year we do a Free Food and Medicine 2020. 2021, 2022, 2023.
Oh, okay. So January of every year, after we get to the end of this year, we do an update.
Right.
That'll work. All right. In 1 minute, we'll call Blog Talk Radio, and we will do our discussion.
Oh, my. I must have picked up a sunburn or something because I am wiped.
Yeah, I was going to do yoga today, but that didn't happen. Okay, 10 o'clock. Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Free Food and Medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast. This is our prequel for our freefoodandmedicine.org podcast. So after we're done with this 30-minute recording, if you want to hear the rest of the story, go to freefoodandmedicine.org and click on podcast, and you'll be able to listen to the full version of this recording. Thank you very much, and here we go.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. Let's take common grass. Did you know you can make tea out of it? That's right. Grass tea is used as a diuretic for kidney stone prevention, urinary inflammation, incontinence, expelling worms, hemorrhoids, skin conditions like rash. It's also used for lung conditions like bronchitis, colds, fever, infections. The roots can be chewed as a licorice-tasting food or made into a flour and are used for digestive and stomach issues. That's right. Yeah, grass. It's insane what people don't know. This weed is one of the most nutritious, delicious greens there is. Even better than spinach. It was used a long time ago by farmers to fatten up their livestock. You probably have 10 different things growing within walking distance of your house right now that are great, healthy, non-caffeine coffee substitutes. Plants that help you quit smoking. Plants that help you lose your desire for alcohol and detox your body while they're at it. What plants are a good substitute for milk or beer or even root beer? What plants make a good perfume? Which ones are good repellents for ants, moths, and mosquitoes? What common weed makes an awesome shampoo and soap? Which plant makes a soap for delicate fabrics that normally can't be washed with harsh chemicals? What's a good plan for bed bugs? This is not just a book for recognizing wild and unknown plants. It's also a dictionary and a health reference guide to all those revolutionary healing herbs you've been hearing so much about and what they're used for. This plant, for example, boosts your sex life so much it's been outlawed in several states. You might not be able to buy it, but it might be growing right there in your neighborhood. Every drug that medicine uses out there was originally made from a plant. Plants can feed you, help heal your health conditions. You can make clothing with them, and you can build your home with them. They can power your electricity and fuel your car. Plants can even protect your home from break-ins. Find out which ones are good for that. It's all in this book. Which plant is good for arguing couples? This plant has wax to make candles with. Which plant has a bubblegum flavor? What plants are good thickeners for soups and food? What common household flowers are edible? It's time we put everything in one book. All the plants, garden plants, wild plants, potted plants, trees, landscaping, everything. What nuts taste like cheddar cheese when steamed? What common worldwide plant is eaten in India where people have the lowest cancer rates? Sure, wheatgrass is great, but what about crabgrass? What about those amazing and powerful herbs you've heard so much about from South America? Did you know people are growing them in their homes all over the world? When I say edible plants, I mean all plants, because you now have access to all of them everywhere. Geographic region doesn't matter anymore either, because the world is becoming one. People are growing pineapples and goji berries in their own homes, even up north where it's cold. Did you know you can grow kiwis that can handle 30 below zero? I'm about to open up a whole new world for you of unlimited possibilities and put you in charge of having access to any free food and medicine you could ever want, including the most famous healing herbs in the world. I am empowering you here. You're not just at the mercy of what's randomly growing near you. You now have the power to grow almost anything you want, any plant from anywhere in the world on your property, no matter where you live. It's your life. Start grabbing it by the reins and start doing what you want. That's what I'm here for, is to show you how. Why did I include normal grocery store fruits and vegetables in this book? Because there's lots of wild carrots and grapes and asparagus and stuff growing out there, and most people have no clue what a wild carrot even looks like if they saw one, or mustard. If you saw this growing, would you eat it? You know what this is? It's celery. This, on the other hand, is poison hemlock. You got to know the difference. Most people have no clue. We need to start from scratch. When I say edible plants, I mean all edible plants. What are peely nuts and jackfruit good for? Which super powerful plants are good for fighting sexual diseases? What plant will not burn and makes a great fire barrier around your home? I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine for the rest of your life? This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full-color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Amazing.
Yeah. And here we go.
And here we go. Update. That book used to be $40. I guess now it's $30. So get out there and get it before the price goes up. Freefoodandmedicine.com to get the Free Food and Medicine book. Or if you want to give me a commission, it's freefoodandmedicine.net. So, real quick.
What about the video?
What about the video?
What about the video? How much is it?
That's a good question. Go to freefoodandmedicine.net and find out.
Woo-hoo.
But I think it's a little more.
Yeah, and I need it.
So, last two or three episodes, we kind of sort of talked about this plant.
Bubblegum.
And bubblegum. Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I gave you a teaser. We actually talked about it on the full version of the podcast, but not the short version of the podcast. And we got a little bit more details now, so we're going to talk about that today as our topic. Which plant tastes like bubble gum? You want to do the honors?
Well, let's see. You sent me the scientific name, Maclura tricuspidata. Man, I murdered that one. Anyway, it's a tree native to East Asia, occasionally grown for its fruit. Somewhat similar to that of the related mulberry. It is also known by common names, including Kudrong, Mandarin Melonberry, Silkworm Thorn, Ji or Qi.
It also has two mulberry. Other names. Yeah, Chinese mulberry is another one. Norris is also another one, Norris.
Right.
Yeah, basically, it's commonly known as the Chinese mulberry. Now, Marcus Rothgren says it has a slight hint of bubblegum flavor in his book. I've only heard of one other person in saying that it tastes like bubblegum. It seems like they really don't have a pinpoint reference as to how it tastes. Some people say it tastes like watermelon. Some people, I forgot what else they say it tastes like, but they, you know, melon, it tastes like melon, you know. There's different, everybody has like a different point of reference of what they say it tastes like. But most everybody says it tastes good. It is related to the mulberry. It's in, I guess, the mulberry family. And it's also related to the fig, or closely related to the fig. Now, that being said, some people say you have to have both male and female in order for it to produce fruit. But it there has been known to be trees that were self-pollinating. So from what I understand, the self-pollinating fruit is seedless, and the fruit that is pollinated by a male tree, male and female, produces seed. And from what I heard, the seedless ones do not taste as good as the ones with seeds.
I don't trust things without seeds anyway.
Well, it's not a hybrid. It's a defect. Or not really a defect. It's a freak of nature, I guess.
Yeah, so
I don't know.
Yeah, so they clone it in order to get it. But
yeah.
It's not that I think that they're poisonous if they don't have seeds. It's just, I just have a feeling you don't get your full nutritional value.
Well, this tree also reproduces by tubers.
Well, okay.
So it's a seed and tuber tree. But yeah, most people say it tastes really, really good. It grows in all kinds of temperatures. It will grow anywhere from tropical to Canadian type temperatures. We should have them growing everywhere. It looks
right.
Like a miniature Osage orange, except it's red or pinkish. So it looks like a hedge apple, but
it also looks like an oversized
brain.
No.
It kind of looks like a brain.
It looks like an oversized mulberry.
I suppose it kind of sort of maybe looks like a mulberry. Maybe a cross between a mulberry and a hedge apple.
Well, I found a place where you can get it for 35 euros.
Cool. Yeah, different tree places actually sell them. You can buy them. They say it's best to buy them grafted onto an Osage orange, I guess, trunk. Whatever. So anyways, I don't know. I don't know which one's the best way to graft it or grow it or whatever. I haven't done a whole lot of extensive research on it, but I've been looking at it for a couple weeks now, off and on. And I haven't really found a lot of information on nutritional value, except that it's high in vitamins. It also says that not a lot of bugs will attack this fruit, although it is the secondary source of food for silkworms. I guess the primary source of food is the mulberry.
The white mulberry
no
in particular.
Yeah. But if there are no mulberries, then they'll go for these.
I guess that why that is it's orange, the tetrary. I don't know.
But apparently it does have thorns. So that may or may not be an issue. And
well, mulberries have thorns. Not mulberries. Osage orange have thorns.
Right. So that would be possibly one thorn tree that I would make an exception of having on the land. But one of the few. But anyways, provided it tastes as good as they say it does. What?
This nursery says it's related to figs and jackfruit as well.
Yeah, a lot of people have said fig. I've not heard jackfruit, but okay.
I don't see it, but okay.
Now, I don't know what medicinal value it has, besides maybe potentially being high in vitamins. Let me see if I can find nutritional facts. Doesn't seem to be a whole lot of information on it anyways. Nutritional facts for chi.
Grows zone 5 to 9, so we're well within a zone that it would grow.
Right.
I could grow up in Iowa.
Ah, here we go. Chi fruit nutritional value. The chi tree is a broad spreading bush or small tree. Yeah, it only gets like 6 foot tall, I think they said.
Oh, that's cool.
Nutritional value. Chi fruit is loaded with vitamins like riboflavins, thymine, carotene, and have very high levels of vitamin C. That's good. They have high levels of a powerful group of antioxidants called the abbreviation is OPC. Oligomeric OPCs. Google that. and a distinct relative of breadfruit, jackfruit, fig, and, of course, mulberries. Now, I was listening to YouTubes today about breadfruit and other things. I was basically doing YouTube research while I was trimming trees today, trying to find more information on this chi fruit. Didn't find a whole lot, but there we go. It's high in vitamins. Now, it is said that hedge is good for fighting other diseases. And mulberry is in the hedge. You know, mulberry is related to hedge. And if this is in that family as well, it could potentially fight similar diseases.
Well, mulberry is a superfood, but it tastes horrible.
Mulberry?
Not mulberry. Hedge.
Right.
Hedge apples. They're a superfood, but it tastes horrible. If you're sick, really sick, mulberries are, hedge apples are kind of the thing to eat.
Right.
You know, cancer type sick. Just saying. So.
Oh, yeah. It's very high in antioxidants. Oh, not mulberry, not hedge, but it might be high in antioxidants. I don't know. I'll have to check out, see here, hedge.
Yeah, nobody likes to eat it, except maybe the Amish.
Right. Nutritional information for hedge apples. Oh, this is a Reddit. So this isn't really, quote unquote, reliable source of information, but see what they have to say. Nothing solid. Never mind. Anyways. What else did I learn about the chi fruit this week or so? What have you learned about it?
Next to nothing.
Only yeah,
that it's
not
about
a whole
30
lot.
Bucks a tree.
Right. Yeah, there's not a whole lot out there on it. That I've found, and but I haven't been doing a whole lot of extensive research either, just hit and miss research here and there. It is an interest of mine. It is a tree that I want to get. well, I don't know. This website says that they...
Doing a search for that, the scientific name and nutrition... I don't know if this is related or not, but it pulls up a PDF on anti-obesity effects of dipyrnylgenistein, whatever that is.
That might be the breadfruit, because I remember them saying one of those fruits that I was listening to on the YouTube. That it was a weight loss, had weight loss capabilities or whatever, but it was not the chi, it was another one. It might have been the breadfruit.
Right. Well, I'm guessing it wouldn't have come up unless, anyway, they collected some plants that contained that chemical and fed it to mice. Fed it to obese mice and watched them get skinny.
Well, like, what's his name? Brian Tracy? Yeah, Brian Tracy says, fruits and berries are nature's roto-rooter.
Right.
So, just eating lots of fruits and berries will clean you out and help you lose weight.
Huh.
Yeah, this one sells their trees for $40 U.S.
Here's a company that distinguishes between mandarin melon berries and chi and what's I can't even pronounce it, the other M one?
The other M one?
Or is it an ant?
Norris,
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's an N. Yeah, they've got three different trees that look alike, and they're selling them as if they're different things.
Maybe. Well, technically there are three trees. There's a male, there's a female, and then there's the one that self-pollinates, supposedly.
Right.
So it might be a hermaphrodite tree. I don't know.
First year care, deep water twice a week. Prune only in winter when the plant is dormant.
Yeah.
The milky sap is a skin irritant. They say that about Osage orange, but if you got skin cancer, you take that latex sap that comes out of an Osage orange and you apply it to the open weeping wounds that you often have with the skin cancer, and it forms a Band-Aid as well as providing nutrients. And my friend who was doing that, he never complained about it irritating his skin. So I don't know what to say.
Yeah, in fact, his skin cancer didn't completely go away, but it reduced dramatically.
Yeah, unfortunately, he didn't stay with it. He only, you know, he did it when he remembered. And he wasn't always remembering things, so.
Right. If he would have used it more often, it would have been more successful.
Right. Propagation, seeds and cuttings, grafting onto Osage orange rootstock is recommended.
Right.
It's primarily grown for its highly attractive ornamental. The fruit is edible, but bland, possibly due to a lack of nutritional value. Oh, my.
That might be the self-pollinating one.
Right. It is usually not harvested as a crop food. However, sliced berries might be served with lemon juice and sugar to improve the flavor.
Well, it may be that they're missing its, you know, nutritional value.
Hey,
I'm sure God would not create a food.
90 seconds.
Silly question. Have you looked in Rothkrantz's book to see what he says its nutritional value is?
He doesn't say it has a nutritional value.
He just says it tastes like bubblegum. That's funny.
He says, an interesting plant with a seedless fruit whose flavor has a hint of bubblegum. When ripe,
60
they
seconds.
Are, when ripe, they are red and the size of golf balls. In the mulberry family, a very prolific plant, grows to about 25 feet tall. Which I stand corrected. They don't get only 6 feet tall. Anyways, we're about out of time. In the future, and hopefully near future, you can hear the rest of the story at freefoodandmedicine.org. Once I get this uploaded, you'll be able to listen to the full version. So, I guess we'll see you on the other side.
On the other side. Are we there yet?
Come with me. Come with me to the dark side.
Oh.
So, there we go. I don't have a whole lot on it. Apparently, people think it doesn't have any nutritional value, kind of like Osage orange, and therefore they don't put much stock in it. But,
well,
I don't know.
Osage orange is a superfood.
Exactly, and this may be as well. And they just don't want us to think it does, because according to this website, now, of course, it's the Chinese mulberry. Maybe we should talk to the Chinese and see what they have to say about it. But according to this website, it's got a lot of nutritional value. We'll just have to find other sources and make sure that they are viable.
Well, I'll have to see who studied it.
That too.
Or we grow some, we collect some fruit, and we send them in. We want say we want this analyzed for its nutritional content.
Yep. I'm Googling chi nutritional facts for chi fruit. It's actually pronounced che, not chi.
Yeah, there's one that's Z-H-E is one spelling. C-H-A is another spelling. Which,
yeah,
know, that's what happens when you translate Chinese characters into English.
Well, yeah, the Chinese write it Z-H-E. The English write it C-H-E.
I'm pretty sure they don't write it Z-H-E.
Well, I don't know. I just saw the actual Chinese writing and interpretation.
Okay. I kind of speculate they use a Chinese character to write it.
They do have a Chinese character to write it as well. But the Chinese have a alphabet translation for their characters as well.
Yeah.
As do the Japanese. I mean, I learned that when I was studying Japanese. So the Japanese do it. I'm sure the Chinese do too.
Well, the Japanese don't actually use Romaji. That's for us European-type people.
Well, and or if they want to translate to us European-type people. Yeah. If they're talking to each other and they don't need a translator, no, of course they don't need it.
There we go. I found a PDF. What's the scientific name? It's Quadrania tricuspidata.
Something like that.
All right, so here's an update review in ethnomedicine. Let's see if I can capture that PDF.
Well, this website doesn't have any real nutritional information on it. They just say the berries have about 67 grams of fat, 2,300 grams of sodium, and 300 grams of cholesterol. So, it'd be a good source of healthy cholesterol. And what do you need sodium for, canning?
Sodium, okay, I ran into that the other day in something I was looking up. But yeah, you do need sodium. It's just they like to give us a low-sodium diet because we get too much salt. We get too much salt because we're eating salt that has had all of the other minerals stripped out of it.
Right.
So if your salt is straight sodium chloride, you're looking for a heart attack. But if your salt came from the ocean – and the only processing they did was remove the water, then you'll take that and your salt cravings will actually go down because now you're getting all those trace minerals that your body's looking for. But you need the sodium chloride. You need the sodium and you need the chlorine. You need the chlorine to digest your food because you make, hydrochloric acid in your stomach? and I forget what the body uses the sodium for, but you need sodium also. It's just like everything. You don't need tons and tons and tons of sodium because that'll make you sick. All right? And tons and tons and tons of chlorine, well, it'd probably bleach your innards and kill you that way. You do need it. Just don't need tons of it.
Right. So
this is interesting.
So basically, anywhere that you need sodium, if this fruit actually does not have much flavor, you can use this fruit, dry it out, use this fruit as a sodium supplement.
Well, here's some traditional uses for it.
Okay.
It was used in East Asia as an important traditional folk medicine for the treatment of many ailments such as eczema, mumps, tuberculosis, contusions, insomnia, acute arthritis. I mean, this does not sound like it's a low nutrition food.
It's right.
It's doing a shotgun of things. Sounds like it's a superfood.
All right, let's grow some on our land.
The whole plant, including the roots, leaves, bark, stems, and fruit, have been found to contain diverse phytochemicals, including xanthones, flavonoids, organic acid, polysaccharides, and various bioactivities. There we go. That's better grammar. I read it wrong. In particular, xanthones and flavonoids as the main active constituents isolated from this plant have been proven to possess notable anti-inflammatory, antioxidative, anti-tumor, heptoprotective, I'm not even sure what that means, sorry, neuroprotective, so it protects neurons, and anti-obesity effects.
Boom, Shaka.
Yeah. So this is a,
we need that in America.
Yeah, stop getting fat fruit. This review summarizes the botany, traditional uses, phytochemistry, and pharmacology. And I'm saying this plant, they keep using the scientific name over and over again, and I say this plant, I should probably be saying she. Now I can't even pronounce that right. Chinese mulberry. There we go.
Yeah.
You should be saying Chinese mulberry every time they put down the. Anyway. And the limitations of studies on the species has also been discussed, such that to serve as a basis for further research and development on this medical plant, medicinal plant.
Oh, yeah. A lot of times when people are looking up this plant, they mistake it for lychee. I kept getting Google trying to send me to the lychee. If you type in C-H-E-E, it wants to send you to lychee instead of the chi or che.
Which is an interesting Asian nut tree.
Yes. That too is an important food, but it's not the same one and it's not related. I don't think it's related.
Huh. I'm not sure what this is saying. Whole plant, $200 years, fruits and roots. I think somebody labeled something wrong. I don't know why there's $200 years in this. I'm not sure that I don't know if that makes any sense. Are they saying you can earn $200 a year off this fruit or off this tree? Or
the tree will produce, an adult tree will produce 400 pounds of fruit per year.
I think that'd be more than $200 worth.
Yeah. Or they said up to 400 pounds. But yeah.
But if it's bland, it's not like you're going to be able to take it to the supermarket and sell it. So you're going to have to find some
Chinese people.
Well, you'd have to find some sort of herb company or the like. You know.
Yeah. Mandarin melonberry is its other common name.
Yep. A melonberry. That sounds like they just didn't know what to call it.
Well, yeah, because it's got a unique flavor. They said tastes like watermelon, tastes like bubblegum and whatever. Look them up on YouTube. Like, in fact, we can play some YouTubes real quick. Maybe. There it goes.
Hello, everybody. This is Ben. And today I'm going to do a quick video on the chafe root. That's C-H-E. So the chafe root is actually related to the mulberry. Get a wide shot of this here. It's related to the mulberry. It's also related, I believe, indirectly to the fig as well. So it's an interesting fruit. So it's red throughout. Looks kind of like a lychee almost, except it doesn't have that white pulpy middle. And it's supposed to be really sweet, but not a lot of acidity, so it has a melon-like flavor. I got this tree from Edible Landscaping, and I got it last year. Okay, look at this. That is some baby chafe fruit. I don't know if these will ripen, because I've read that it will drop its fruit in the first couple of years of life. This variety is supposed to be self-fertile, but I'm kind of researching it, and folks are saying that it's not, that it needs a male pollinator, kind of like a kiwi does and most fruits, but we shall see that it doesn't get into a self-fertile stage for 5 to 8 years. Take a look at this right here. I did a air layer of this. It's kind of tall, whippy, right? So I'm going to do a little bit of an air layer there, or take the top off, and then maybe even do another one once that one takes. So that way it encourages the lateral side branching like it's doing right now. Turns more into a tree form and then strengthens up the middle trunk. I also bought two other ones from Hidden Valley. I'll show you those in a second.
All right. Anyways, let's see. Play this one.
Yeah. You and your girl. Uncle be an actor.
You can put your mind and do.
Right. Got the advertisement.
Well, it's Todd from Grayskin Farms here. Today, I'm in front of a cheese tree.
Ah, yeah, this one, I don't know, they must not want us to watch this one. This one times out on me when I'm on the phone, now on the internet, or on the PC. Here we go.
She has a botanical name of Christiana, I'm not sure I slaughtered that one. It's also known as Mandarin Melonberry. It likes full sun and performs best in warm, well-drained soil, ideally a deep loam. It spreads 14 to 25 feet high after 30 years, and right now I guess we're looking at probably, I don't know, 10 to 12 feet high. This is a 7-year-old food forest. It grows in zone 6 to 9, and it is grafted on Osage orange. And we'll propagate via seeds, but if you do seeds, you have to have a male plant. And also, if you propagate it via seeds, it likes to colonize, and it clumps together, and you'll end up with multiple different trunks out. That's why it's grafted on Osage orange, so you only have one trunk coming out to come up to the tree. The chia is a diocese with male and female flowers on different plants. So, again, that's why you have to have the male to actually produce this is one of the few plants that I'm aware of that produces fruit even when it doesn't cross-pollinate and have any seeds in it. So that's a really cool thing. Fully ripe fruits are juicy, sweet, very pleasant, and fig-like in taste. Leaves are used as a salmon food. So you can eat the leaves, but it's not something that's very powerful. It is used in Eastern Asian folk medicine. And it is edible with possible medicinal uses. So to know what to do as far as harvesting these, is you come in and you look for one that is very, very dark red. That's the one up there. It's not that dark. And that one's not really ready. And what I'm looking for is one that gives just a little bit. And this one does. And I'll go ahead and just take a bite out of this one. And although it has a unique flavor all to itself, again, it's not seedy at all. It has a little bit of a mulberry flavor. It's just a lot going on here, so I really can't describe exactly what the flavor is. But this is a wonderful, wonderful tree. I got mine from ediblelandscaping.com, and I will be trying to propagate these. I have Osage Orange, and I'll see if I can graft onto them in the future. But for right now, I will go to Edible Landscaping and purchase one of these things. They are absolutely wonderful. So that's it for this video. Thank you very much. Please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel. Great.
There you go.
Edible Landscaping.
Edible Landscaping. And last but not least, I'll play this one.
Writing's not that easy.
After this advertisement, 3, 2, 1.
Grammatically correct.
Skip.
The world is full of bizarre and unique fruits. Familiar flavors you thought could never be mimicked are cleverly contained in the delicious fruit hanging right on the tree. You guys asked for it, so here it is, the top 10 fruits you've never heard of, part 5. Number 10, ice cream bean. This large bean isn't what you're expecting. This doesn't taste like grandma's green beans. This is an amazing fruit that tastes like vanilla ice cream. The ice cream bean grows on an incredibly fast-growing tree. The tree will start producing the ice cream bean within 3 years of germination. This tree will grow up to 55 feet or 17 meters tall, at which point it will produce ice cream beans that measure between 1 and 6 feet or 3 centimeters to 2 meters in length. Inside the green pod is a snow-white cotton candy-like pulp that wraps the beans. This pulp is sweet and delicious. that'll remind you of your favorite vanilla ice cream. The beans inside can also be eaten once cooked. What a combo, beans and ice cream. Yeah, nature is weird. In Colombia, an alcoholic drink is made from ice cream beans called chachiri, which is popular at festivals. These beans grow anywhere ranging from northern Mexico to the southern Amazon rainforest. The trees themselves, they're not resilient to frost and love the warm weather near the equator. These fast-growing trees provide a natural shade canopy for other food-bearing plants like cacao, coffee, vanilla, and tea. Number 9, Kelsey Plum Fruit. This heart-shaped plum is a unique variety that is green. That's right, when fully ripe, these plums don't change color, they just stay green. Originally a Japanese plum, these can grow anywhere around the world where a normal variety of plum will grow. This plum, it tastes sweet, light, and crisp, with a slight amount of tart flavor near the peel. The flesh is firm and dense, and a little less explosive with juice, as you'd expect with a normal plum. The yellowish flesh is dense and easy to eat. This plum is one of the least messy plums to eat out there, and would pack well in a backpack for a snack during a hike. Number 8, Peruvian Apple Cactus Fruit. The Peruvian Apple Cactus is a columnar cactus that grows to a height of 49 feet or 15 meters. Now, you'd probably expect these fruits to be native to Peru, but they aren't. They're actually native to Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay. This grayish-green cactus is fairly smooth with sparse spines that produces a fruit that's very similar to dragon fruit. These cactus can withstand very high temperatures, but not cold temperatures. Peruvian apple cactus fruit is grown commercially in Israel and South America, so those are the places to be if you want to try this fruit. The inside of this fruit is very similar looking to the dragon fruit. The outer red peel can be peeled off easily. The red flesh is fluffy and soft with a mild taste, which is also similar to dragon fruit. The flavor can also be described similar to kiwi, but without the sourness. Number 7, Summer Punch Plot. Deep purple with glints of blue on the outside, dark purpley red on the inside, the Summer Punch Plot has to be one of the most delicious stone fruits in the world. This hybrid mix of an apricot and a plum is easily distinguished by its deep purple color with blue and white specks that almost make it look like the night sky wrapped around a fruit. If sweet isn't your thing, you'll want to pass on a taste test of this fruit. There's so much sugar in the Summer Punch Plot, it'll be dripping out of your ears. There's also a unique, almost melon-like taste to this fruit that's hiding under all that sweetness. These fruits are excellent to eat on their own, mixed with a banana in a smoothie, and even blended to make a homemade frozen ice cream. Number 6, Golden Kiwi. Now, if eating fuzz on a common green flesh kiwi bothers you, the Golden Kiwi's the answer for you. Wait, what's that you say? You can eat the peel of a kiwi? Yep, that's right. Not only is it significantly easier to just pop it right in your mouth without all that peeling, juice doesn't get everywhere, and there are significant nutrients that are in the kiwi's peel. With that said, the golden kiwi is much easier to eat the peel, as there's no fuzz on it. When it comes to taste, this variety of kiwi is much sweeter, with almost no tartness a green kiwi has. It's very fruity, light, and refreshing, and goes well in a fruit salad. These kiwis are typically smaller than their fuzzy green counterparts. The golden kiwi tends to be softer and more fragile on the inside. Kiwis originated in China, but have become popular through the commercialization of them in New Zealand. Russell Lowe naturally bred the golden kiwi variety from a single seedling, and has since patented this plant.
What's the perfect peanut butter to chocolate ratio? A lot. Like a boatload of either. Or either. Just a lot.
Advertisement.
Number 5, green mango. This mango may look like an unripe mango, but actually never changes color. For this reason, it's more difficult to figure out when it's ready to eat. These mangoes will still soften and wrinkle like a normal mango, so just look for those signs as well as black spots to see if it's ripe. The green mango doesn't taste like a common Hayden or a Topo mango, though. Now, we can't categorize all green mangoes into the same box in regards to taste, as there are many different varieties. But smaller oval-shaped green mangoes like this one have a unique taste that's quite a bit less sweet than a yellow mango. The taste is hard to describe. There's almost a very earthy taste that comes through, but you'll really notice in the absence of extreme sweetness of a normal mango. Now, with that said, these mangoes don't taste like potatoes. They're still a nice, sweet, refreshing fruit to eat, but they almost taste like they're a different fruit altogether. Now, it seems the smaller the green mango, the less sweet it is, as these giant green mangoes found on the western side of Bali are incredibly sweet. Just to quickly point out scale here, that papaya is a full-grown papaya longer than the length of an adult hand. These massive green mangoes have the same earthy flavor as the small green mangoes, but have the same sweetness you'd expect from a yellow one. If you're looking to try the green mango, you have to head to the most tropical places on the planet. If you ever have the pleasure of trying one of these giant green mangoes, you'll probably find that this is one of the most delicious fruits you've ever had. Number 4, Che. this weird fruit is also known as Chinese chay, Chinese mulberry, kudrang, mandarin melonberry, and silkworm thorn. The chay tree is native to Eastern Asia but became popular in Japan and eventually moved over to England and Europe around the 1870s and then to the United States around 1930. The leaves of the chay tree serve as a backup source of food for the silkworm, but the leaves of the mulberry tree are not available. So this shouldn't surprise you that the chay is related to the mulberry, looks like a berry, but actually is a collective fruit. This fruit is very fresh and sweet tasting. It's juicy with a berry taste, along with a watermelon-like flavor. You know how you eat a watermelon on a hot summer's day, and it's so refreshing? This is a similar sort of feeling you get from the chay fruit. It mixes very well with citrus and is overall very delicious and praised by many. In the United States, a chay tree was found in Virginia that's self-pollinating. Since its discovery, many people have taken clippings and seeds from that tree and are starting to produce this fruit more in the United States. Number 3, egg fruit. This yellow fruit that will grow to the size of an entire hand is also known as Castile, yellow sapote, and Vietnam avocado. The tree that grows this unique fruit reaches 33 feet or 10 meters in size. The egg fruit can be very hard when it's unripe, but once it starts to ripen, it'll get soft quickly. The egg fruit has a very creamy, pasty texture like a custard or a hard-boiled egg, with a noticeable egg taste, yet still sweet. It almost tastes like a roasted sweet potato. If you're wanting to try this one, they are cultivated in Taiwan, Brazil, Vietnam, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Sri Lanka. This fruit is an excellent addition to a smoothie, can be made into a jam, pancakes, and is enjoyed raw with salt and lemon juice on top. Because of its texture and egg taste, this fruit has become a popular egg substitute for vegans. Egg fruit is an excellent addition to anyone's diet. They're rich in niacin, iron, calcium, ascorbic acid, and beta-carotene. Number 2, Suriname cherry. This highly adaptable member of the Eugenia species of fruit is very distinctive with its red-orange coloring and unique bulbous ridges. The Suriname cherry grows on a tree or shrub that reaches 25 feet or 7.5 meters tall. This fruit is native to Suriname, Guyana, French Guiana, and Brazil. As the fruit ripens, it turns color from green to yellow to orange, then red, and even almost a black-like color. The fruit can be enjoyed, though, anywhere from orange to the dark red-black.
They look like gourds.
With this said, there are two types of Suriname cherries, one that ripens to a dark red color and the other one that ripens to a black, which is the sweeter variety. These shrubs take 2 to 3 years before they start to produce fruit. The shrub grows very easily, is cold-hardy, water-tolerant, and produces a lot of fruit. The fruit itself tastes sweet with a little bit of tartness on the end. The texture is soft and juicy, but with density to it. The fruit has a very tropical smell to it. It can't really be compared to anything else. Inside, there's one large seed that needs to be spit out. If swallowed, they can cause diarrhea. The leaves are used to repel flies in Brazil by crushing them and leaving them around the house. The Suriname cherry is high in antioxidants, vitamin A, and vitamin C. Number 1, peanut butter fruit. An uncommon and unique fruit for sure. Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, and Colombia call this fruit home. This upright growing plant produces multiple yellow flowers that will turn into peanut butter fruit. Each flower has two fruits that will grow from it. The tree itself grows to a height of 5 to 15 feet or 3 to 5 meters. The peanut butter fruit tastes very much like peanut butter with a woody, earthy flavor and also a mild sweetness to it. The texture of the fully ripened fruit is smooth like peanut butter as well, except there are 1 to 2 seeds that are inside. These oval-shaped fruits are about the size of a small plum. The fruit is very soft though, not making them ideal for commercial production. The peanut butter fruit is good for your heart. It helps reduce cholesterol levels and supports proper nerve function in the body. So if you have an allergy to peanuts, but you want to enjoy that taste, this is the fruit for you. Have you guys heard of all these fruits? Which one do you want to try the most? Let us know in the comments below. I hope you guys enjoyed this video. If you like the content, hit that subscribe button while you like the video. Until the next one, have a good one.
There you go. So next week's topic will be the egg fruit.
Well, the his comments on the chi was that it was tasty and refreshing, unlike
like
the
watermelon.
Yeah, unlike one of the other articles that we read that suggested it was kind of flavorless and must lack nutrition, which was, from what I can see from the study that I downloaded the PDF on, that is completely out the window. It is probably a superfood.
Right, that they don't want us to know about.
Well, Well, they aren't probably blocking it, except maybe in China. Because over here,
well,
they don't need to block it. Nobody knows about it.
That's what I mean. You know, people will poo-poo things that are good for us because they want us to ignore it, like elderberries.
Right. Oh, yeah, those things are poisonous. You got to cook them first. And no, you got to have them raw or they're poisonous. Make up your mind.
Yeah. So there you go. Egg fruit is in the book, so we will talk about egg fruit next week.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. So there's your topic for the week. You can't blame me for it this time.
All right, what's the topic? It's Sunday and I need to study.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, my. Well, folks, I'm going off to bed.
Same here. Oh, hang on a second. Okay, yeah, it needs nitrogen, this tree. So we already got our nitrogen fixers growing, so we should be good.
Right. Send me a link to that video, though. That might be interesting to see what we can grow here.
Which one?
The last one you played.
Oh, okay. I'll send that to you. It's by the channel is Earth Titan. And I'm not sure what all they talk about. But, well, let me go to their channel and see what all they talk about. Okay, looks like you talk about all kinds of stuff. Animals, places, fruit, technology, and products.
Right.
Now, here's another interesting one. I listened to this one earlier. We'll listen to it real quick.
Let's go tell people they'll only pay for what they need, but Liberty Mutual. Fine, I'll drive.
Top 10 fruits you've never heard of. Number 10, salad fruit. Salad fruit, also known as snake fruit, comes from a species of palm tree in Southeast Asia. It gets its name from its scaly-like appearance and is about the size of a fig. The outer shell and seed are inedible, but the yellowish flesh is, which has the appearance of a clove of garlic. It tastes mostly sweet with a bit of sour and hints of pineapple and banana. Number 9, Buddha's hand. Buddha's hand is an abnormally shaped fruit that looks like a mixture of a squid and a lemon. It comes from a small tree or bush that originates from China and India and has been long used as an ornamental fruit in ceremonies and gardens. It is often used in Japan as a room fragrance or used to perfume personal items like clothing. Buddha's hand has a fragrance similar to lavender, contains no seeds or juice, just an oily pith. The pith is sweet as compared to other fruits having a bitter taste. Anyone hungry for a lemon squid? Number 8, wood apples. Wood apples, which are native to India, have the shape of an apple but appear to be made of wood. Wood apples are reputed for their medicinal properties, which includes relief of constipation, diarrhea, indigestion, and respiratory problems. The wood apple has a very hard outer shell and the smell of slightly fermented raisins, but tastes sweet. You gotta wonder who's the first person to ever eat this. I mean, look at it. It looks like it's a mixture of rotten egg and bird piss. Number 7, Gagfruit. Gagfruit, which originates in Southeast Asia, is an orange to reddish colored fruit on the outside with a...
That was gack fruit, not jackfruit.
Gack fruit?
Yeah, G-A-C, I think it was. Let me rewind. Yeah, G-A-C fruit. Here we go.
Gack fruit, which originates in Southeast Asia, is an orange to reddish colored fruit on the outside with a blood red inside that resembles bloody organs. Gack fruit is an incredibly rare fruit that is only harvested in December and January, often served at Vietnamese ceremonies and weddings. It has a very, very mild tropical taste, but primarily overwhelms your senses with how creamy it is. Jackfruit is highly nutrient-dense and packed full of antioxidants. It's most commonly mixed with gluten rice to make a bright red dish called soygak. Number six.
It looks disgusting. It looks like you're eating body parts.
The Jabuticaba, or Brazilian grape tree, is a grape-like fruit that grows right out of the bark of the Jabuticabaria tree. Jabuticaba has anti-cancer properties, can be used to treat swollen tonsils, and is an effective treatment for asthma and diarrhea when dried out. Now talk about an awesome fruit to have around. Now I dare you to go and hug that tree. Number
yeah,
five,
that looks awesome.
Monkey fruit, or lapucha, is a highly nutritious fruit that comes from the Artocarpus lapucha tree, which is a species of the Moracea family found in India. Monkey fruit looks like a tiny jackfruit inside and out, but has a taste that is completely unique to other fruits. The best way to describe it is a mixture of sweet, sour, tangy, with citrus overtones. This fruit can help with arthritis, swelling, dysentery, cleaning wounds, and preventing hair loss. Another good fruit to, you know, have lying around the house. Number four, Miracle Berry. Miracle Berry originates from West Africa. It tastes very sweet but a little tart, a lot like a peach or an apricot. Miracle Berry contains miraculin, protein that binds to the taste bud but becomes active when mixed with acid. The side effect is the tongue no longer tastes sour or bitter flavors. A common challenge often seen a lot on YouTube is to eat Miracle Berry, then eat foods like strawberries, lemon, tomatoes, and vinegar as it drastically changes the flavor. Time to go eat some lemons. Number three.
Miracle Berries look like goji berries, but I guess they're different.
Well, I'd be interested in looking those up.
Shrub that grows all over the world. Tree fruit. Strawberry tree fruit comes from an evergreen shrub that grows all over the world. It has a similar appearance to a strawberry, but tastes bland, bitter, and a little tart and gritty. Although not a highly desired fruit for its taste, it's used to make jams, beverages, liqueurs, and is a common fruit for birds. Number two, Pella fruit. Pella fruit is a species of spruce vine that is native to eastern Australia and Hawaii. Pella has a spherical core with up to 200 flanges that grow outward. These flanges contain a very sweet juice. For this reason, you would tend to chew on Pella fruit versus eat Pella fruit. Pella is eaten raw or cooked. It has the taste of a cross between a mango and a papaya. Now that's amazing. Pella trees produce a group of fruits which average between 1 and 2 dozen per group. This has got to be one of the most visually stunning fruits out there. I don't know how many fruits can say they look like a sun exploding. Number one, ackee fruit. Ackee fruit is a member of the soapberry family, as are longan and lychee. It has a very strong taste of, you guessed it, cheddar cheese. What else would a rare tropical fruit taste like?
There you go.
The fruit is pear-shaped that turns from green to red to orange. This is what opens to reveal three large black seeds. These seeds are wrapped in a yellow spongy flesh, which is the only edible part. The seed and the rind are both highly poisonous. If you consume either of those, you'll get what is called Jamaican vomiting sickness. Ackee originates in West Africa, but was imported to Jamaica and nowadays is common in the Caribbean. You can see why ackee fruit, also known as the cheese fruit, gets the top spot in our list. I hope you guys enjoyed this video. Please like and subscribe and have a great day.
That's wicked. So there's like this cheesy inside of the fruit that you can eat, but you don't want the seed and you don't want the skin.
Right.
You know, the seed and the skin will make you sick, but you want the cheesy innards. That's crazy. They got like four or five parts of the top 10 fruits you've never heard of. So that'll be interesting. We'll have to play all of those on our next podcast, maybe. Go to EarthTitan YouTube page.
All right, folks.
All right,
I'm
so long.
Good night.
Same here. All right, sweet dreams.
Night out, folks. See you next week.